I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio, The New World Report, with my colleague, Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature. She is in Bogota. Joseph Vumar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, he is in Washington. Certainly, the border crisis overwhelms the news, and the tens of thousands of people who have believed for weeks or months or years that the way for their children, the way for them, is the United States, are now pressing against a border that cannot handle their pleas. And there are more coming from South America, through the Darien Gap, through in Panama, Costa Rica, on to Honduras and Mexico. They're coming in waves. However, there are other stories in Latin America that are even longer reaching. And one of them is the deforestation of the Brazilian Amazon. It is, for some years, a constant crisis. Joseph, I begin with you because this is a story that spans, as far as I've been reading about the Amazon, there's been worry about this back to the mid-20th century. Has something changed under Bolsonaro, or is something about to change under Joe Biden to limit or cut back or patrol the Amazon before it's laid waste?
Well, John, it depends on what the Biden administration decides to do. Right now, it's looking like they're trying to make the deforestation issue, the climate change issue, a priority in its bilateral conversations with Brazil. I think that's a mistake because Brazil has, you know, we had built this strong relationship with the Bolsonaro government that's really blossomed over the last couple of years. And I don't think that we should impede that relationship because there might be a difference on environmental conservation. This would be like equivalent to starting a conversation with Canada about the Keystone Pipeline. There's obviously a difference between the Biden administration and the Canadian government on that issue. That wouldn't be the first issue in that conversation. And there's a sort of false narrative that the only reason that we were had a strong relationship between Brazil and the United States was because of the personal relationship of Trump and Bolsonaro. That's not necessarily the case. There was obviously a kinship between those two, between the former President Trump and the current President Bolsonaro. However, there was a lot of institutional strengthening within the relationships on trade. We now have $100 billion worth of trade with Brazil, defense cooperation. Southcom has created all kinds of military-to-military cooperation with Brazil. On intelligence, even to the border issue that we were talking about, one of those major human smugglers was an Iranian human smuggling network that was able to be dismantled and busted because of a cooperation with Brazil, because that smuggling network began in Brazil. So there's all these other areas that I think that are a high priority, and we shouldn't so-called throw the baby out with the bathwater just because we want to talk about deforestation as our foreign policy interest with the Bolsonaro government.
Maria, you have been articulate about Mr. Bolsonaro and his unprecedented administration in Brazil, and his successes and those policies he's made that have been controversial. I'm thinking about the vaccine. But Mr. Bolsonaro, is he different about handling the Amazon? You're much closer to this story. In fact, Colombia shares a border with the Amazon in Brazil. Is he different about the Amazon, or is he the same as we've had before, a laissez-faire attitude towards the people who are living in the Amazon?
What I have read and what I have learned is that every time a right-wing president rising to power, he's attacked by many different narratives that change the reality. And those narratives are promoted by just causes, like the cause, for example, that anti-racism, the cause, with all the good excuses of tolerance, inclusion, and environmental issues just became like another way of selling a religion. It's a fundamentalism on everything you do, because everything you do, even if you breathe, you are destroying the environment. So what you have to see below of all these attacks against President Bolsonaro is that this agenda of the just causes is against him since the first. And I remember 2 years ago when these fires raised up, and no one looked at Bolivia's Evo Morales, who allowed in a video and who make a presidential resolution allowing the agriculture and the cattle holders to take over more than 1 million hectares. Nobody, not even the United Nations, no one looked at Evo, but pointed out against Bolsonaro. Brazil has one of the most powerful and conservative policies to protect environment before Bolsonaro, before Lula da Silva. And they are proud of it, and they keep building it. And I remember at that times of the fire, John, that the NASA showed the world that the fires were the same, because they have always, with their satellites, they are always observing what is happening in these parts of the world that are very important to keep, you know, the climate change and to keep the health of the environment. So most of that, unfortunately, as I do think, is a wrong policy to make Bolsonaro an enemy when he is an ally, as Joseph just said.
Joseph, it does. I don't conquer all of these headlines, but it does occur to me that the one president in Latin America who is repeatedly blamed without mitigation is Bolsonaro. We could range across the presidential palaces throughout Latin America and find big question marks about people we're dealing with. But Bolsonaro is the villain. Now, that's a generality. Does it suit your particular knowledge about Bolsonaro's administration?
Well, what's happening, John, is that because Bolsonaro is becoming quickly the last voice in Latin America that's standing against these authoritarian regimes. He's standing up against the Maduro regime in Venezuela. He's been consistent against the Evo Morales regime and now the Luis Arce government in Bolivia. He speaks out against Cuba. He kicked out the Cuban doctors, so-called doctors, that were actually engaged in some kind of pay-for-play scheme with medical personnel in their country. So he stood up to these authoritarian regimes, and obviously that makes him a target of those same regimes. And this is why it's important that the United States not get involved in this kind of harsh rhetoric with Brazil, because as Senator Cabal mentioned, Brazil's probably one of our top allies, if not our top ally at this current state in Latin America. We obviously have strong relationships with Colombia, with Chile, with Peru, but all these countries are in flux because they're being attacked both from within and also by external actors. Brazil is one of the strongest countries to stand up to these authoritarian regimes, and if we weaken that relationship, by extension, we're strengthening the authoritarians.
You ask what other presidents are in trouble. We go immediately to Honduras, which is in the news because that's the Northern Triangle. That's where at one time the caravans were said to be coming from, a combination of Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. The Trump policy sought to answer that. Clearly, there was not an answer that was final because the refugee flow continues. People pay tens of thousands of dollars to cross these countries. Who benefits? All right. One possible benefit would be the drug lords, but let's get specific. Recently, the president of Honduras, Juan Orlando Hernandez, was named in a trial in New York of a drug trafficker. The trial said that Mr. Hernandez was seen by a witness to take a two bribes in 2013 before he became president and take money while he is president, and take money to protect people from arrest while he is president. Now, Joseph, I ask your help here. This doesn't seem like man bites dog. This seems like drug trafficking corrupts all the governments. Is that how to read this, or is Hernandez in especially hot water because of that trial in New York?
Well, I think the president of Honduras is in big trouble. I mean, this really escalated when his brother, Tony Hernandez, was convicted of drug trafficking, and he's going to be sentenced at the end of the month, and it looks like he might get a very harsh sentence. Tony Hernandez was a congressman. Obviously, he's the brother of the president, and that kind of opened this Pandora's box about the president himself, Juan Orlando Hernandez, being implicated in drug trafficking. There's been recent advances by the prosecutors. They have witnesses, other people that have been indicted, other drug traffickers that have come out and come forward. And has said that they were personally sat in meetings where Juan Orlando Hernandez specifically said that he wanted to use the drug trafficking business not only to enrich himself and to pay for his political allies, but also to hurt the United States. And here's the big kicker with all this, John. The majority of the drugs, this is particularly cocaine, that's coming out of Venezuela goes to Honduras. So if we're looking at the Venezuelan regime, the Maduro regime, as a problem when it comes to the illicit flow of narcotics, then we, by extension, could probably look at Honduras as well, because that's where it's transited through before it heads to Mexico or the United States. So I think the Juan Orlando Hernandez is a big problem, and he's potentially following in the same footsteps of his political rivals, Manuel Zelaya, who's the socialist left, now leftist candidate in Honduras, whose wife is a perpetual presidential candidate, and he's an ally of the Maduro regime, open ally of the Maduro regime. Well, he started kind of in the same way. He was a right-wing candidate. He was a right-wing conservative politician, and then he got corrupted by the drug industry and then fell into the laps of the Maduros and the Daniel Ortegas of Latin America. Juan Orlando Hernandez seems like he's following in those footsteps, unless he makes some major corrections quickly.
Maria, I mean to report to you that recently, talking to a correspondent in Panama, he indicated that the cocaine flow from Colombia is increasing again, and increasing with mules carrying it or walking it or driving cocaine into Central America headed for the United States. Is this phenomenon noticed in Bogota? Have the cocaine troubles that were solved for many years reignited during the pandemic?
During the pandemic, the drug dealers, the kingpins, never stopped working. They kept doing it. It's the most profitable business that you can do. They have developed a special seeds that could grow four times a year. So they're not going to stop when you have a profitable business and it's forbidden. You know that it's an illegal market that, because of being illegal, prices get higher. Yesterday, let me tell you both, a submarine. Submarine built, you know, not by any company, built by the kingpins, were trapped getting into Panama with 400 tons of cocaine. It's amazing how or what they do every time.
Maria, did you say a submarine? A submarine? A submarine?
Is that what you said? A submarine. Yes, I can send you the pictures. And it's not the first time. They have been doing this, like artisan built submarines. So they capture one, but you can imagine that 20 get through and we're not trapped. So it's day by day, but the worst thing that really I feel very ashamed of my country and my institutions is that the Constitutional Court, with the president of the Constitutional Court, stop the fumigation process. Stop the way a public policy from the executive office, from the president, it does not belong to any court, not the Constitutional Court, that extended its faculties and trapped the executive, because the executive is the one who designed the security policy. So if they stop how they work the war against drugs, and especially it's attacking the crops, if the military, the police, everyone has their hands tied.
Right.
This is how it has been growing, and this is our first problem that we have to face during Colombia.
Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal in Bogota, Joseph Umar in Washington. When we come back, Chile's constitution at play. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.